In 1978, Seattle Public Schools began what would become a 21-year experiment. Students were bused from their neighborhoods to schools throughout the city in an attempt to integrate the school system. As part of our series, Black in Seattle, Tanya Mosley looks at the social impact busing had on some students who rode throughout the city each day.
It's Thursday evening, and Amalia Martino rushes from work to catch the last few minutes of her daughter Sophia's soccer game.
My daughter's a brown one.
They live in Edmonds, where Amalia can count the number of black kids Sophia has played soccer with on one hand.
No, last year there was another girl, I think she was from Eritrea or Ethiopia, but she, usually.
But being the only isn't really a bad thing for Amalia. What's important to her is that her 11-year-old daughter experience a sense of community. Sophia and her friends all play on the same teams, go to the same school, and live in the same neighborhood.
I think just being able to be in one community where we have all these moms that are kind of helping each other, and, you know, I barely drive to soccer practice because there's so many people in the carpool.
This kind of connection is especially important to Amalia. She doesn't want Sophia to experience what she did growing up. Amalia spent her childhood on Capitol Hill in Seattle, straddling the lines of race and class. The group she played soccer with was different than the kids on her block. And the kids in her neighborhood were different than the group she went to school with. Amalia was bused outside of her neighborhood as part of Seattle Public Schools' initiative to integrate the school system.
I didn't realize, like, when you get your school assignments, like, oh, I'm going across town because I'm brown and they need brown people at that school.
Some of Amalia's first memories were taking the bus from Capitol Hill to Seward Elementary on Eastlake. She was then bused to Orca K-8 in Fremont, Hamilton Middle School in Wallingford, then Roosevelt High. By that time, she was taking the city bus, a 45-minute trip each way. And it wasn't always pleasant. Amalia has a white mother and a black father. It was difficult navigating where she fit in.
I think I was the last stop. And, you know, so it was a lot of kids of black kids on my bus. And it was, I was not like them, obviously. I was different. So I got a lot of, you know, spitting in my hair and pulling my hair.
From 1980 until 99, minorities carried the burden of busing, piling on buses from primarily South and Central Seattle to white schools in the North End. During the first 3 years of the program, enrollment of white students in the district dropped by 28%, many families opting for private schools or the suburbs. And not all black families were happy either. Some students of color learned how to manipulate the system to stay in the schools they felt most comfortable. 38-year-old Al Wells lived on the South End as a kid, but always wanted to be from the Central District. It was considered the cool part of town.
I'm from the South End of Seattle. But, you know, I spent my younger years, man, trying to get my district cred. You know what I'm saying? So I was always shooting uptown, trying to go kick it in the CD.
Al reminisces with classmates at his 20th high school reunion at Garfield, a school with a larger black student body. For middle school, Al was bused from the South to Eckstein in the North End. By high school, his family had moved two blocks away from Garfield. Even still, he was assigned to another school. And so with the help of a staff member at Garfield, Al says he used a fake address to get in.
The thing is with integrated busing is like, if you just take a bus full of white kids and say, you guys have to go over here and go to school in the black neighborhood. You take a bus full of black kids and say, you got school in the white neighborhoods. They're not really integrating. You know, they're just changing seats.
Tia Williams left Garfield her freshman year in 1989 when her family moved to SeaTac. When she tried to return 2 years later, she says she couldn't get in as a black student. At the reunion, she reveals a surprise to her friends.
I actually graduated Garfield as a white female because that was the only way I could get back in. It's to change my race. Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that either.
Back then, the solution for solving the racial imbalance was a numbers game. As long as schools had one minority kid for every five white kids, the school was considered integrated, and district officials say parents did all sorts of things to get their children in the schools they wanted.
I just know my mom found out, like, you know, it was basically numbers, so you couldn't, you know, we were capped out, so you couldn't come back in unless, you know, you're white, because they were busing white kids in. So, yeah, I graduated as a white female.
In an attempt to make Seattle schools racially inclusive, for Al and Tia, busing only highlighted the racial divide. In a crosstown at Roosevelt, Amalia had become even more aware of the social dynamics at play. She was popular, captain of the cheer team, but she couldn't shake this feeling that she had joined the party late.
We were integrated into this high school where a lot of these kids had grown up together from forever. You know, they were from View Ridge, Laurelhurst, Sandpoint.
All neighborhood schools in the North End.
And it was just kind of like being thrown in. And I had never had that experience of growing up with a group of kids from preschool or kindergarten or elementary school. It was always kind of, you know, disjointed.
By 1999, critics considered busing in Seattle a failure. Students were given the option that year to attend the schools of their choice, and the district began to resegregate, black kids going to school on their side of town and white kids going to school in their neighborhoods. But in retrospect, some black students who were bused say they still would do it all over again.
The best thing that could have happened to me was busing.
While living in the housing projects at 19th and Yesler, Anthony Ray started school in the Central District. By the late 70s and early 80s, he was taking the bus to North Seattle.
Let's see, I went to Lashi, which was the inner city, then I went to Madrona. So after Madrona, I was bused to Eckstein, and then from Eckstein, I was bused to Roosevelt.
When Anthony was at Roosevelt, 14% of his classmates were black. He says in some areas, a few black kids made all the difference.
Now, well, proof of that, now this is going to sound funny, but we won state in basketball, so yeah. After busing, no more state for Roosevelt.
Today, 1 in 10 students at Roosevelt is black. Anthony says he understood even then that some people in the North End did not want black kids coming into their neighborhood. But for him, the experience offered a look beyond the disparity of the projects.
I've heard things like, you know, forced integration is not good. You know, I want my kid to be able to go to a school that's in our community. That's why we moved here. So all those things I totally understand. But from my perspective, I didn't have the luxury of living in a neighborhood where a good school was. We didn't make that kind of money. My mom was an LPN, worked at the King County Jail for $6-7 an hour, right? So from my perspective, it was the best thing that could have happened.
A music teacher at Eckstein Middle School showed Anthony the possibilities of a music career.
Did it change the course of your life?
Oh, definitely.
He went on to stardom, winning a Grammy as Sir Mix-a-Lot.
There is no ceiling in life, and you don't realize that if you live under one.
Amalia's daughter, Sophia, may be only one of a handful of brown kids at her school, but Amalia believes it's the closest thing she can give her to a true integrative school experience.
We live within a mile of her school. She can walk there. She's had friends since she was in kindergarten. Same group of friends, these girls that I'm watching, you know, grow into young ladies, and with that group of friends comes a group of families and parents that, you know, it takes a village.
Next summer, Amalia will attend her 20th high school reunion at Roosevelt. With the exception of a few people, she hasn't really kept in touch with her classmates, but she believes she got a better education, even if it was at the expense of true community and lasting friendships. The busing program she was part of ended in 1999. In 2007, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Seattle could not use race in assigning schools. Parents like Amalia are now finding other ways to give their children a racially integrative experience. For KUOW, I'm Tanya Mosley.
Find tweets about this series at hashtag Black in Seattle. Funding for Black in Seattle was provided by the KUOW Program Venture Fund. Contributors include Paul and Lori Ahern and KUOW listener subscribers. To hear stories from our series or to learn more about the Program Venture Fund, go to KUOW.org.